Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Let's talk about learning social media. Whether you're a student, professor, or a professional, you really have to step out of your comfort zone to embrace technology and to really explore how you can build relationships differently through new media. So ask yourself, are you hands-on with social media, or do you think maybe you need to step up your game? Well, if you need to step up your game, you're certainly not alone. And I'd like to introduce my special guest who can certainly share a lot about stepping up your game with social media. It's Karen Freeberg. Karen is an associate professor in strategic communications at the University of Louisville, as well as an adjunct instructor for the Integrated Marketing Communications graduate online program at West Virginia University. Karen's also an author and a consultant actively involved in researching new directions in public relations, reputation management, social media, and crisis communications, some of my favorite topics, I might add. I could certainly go on about Karen's accolades. I do think it's better that she jumps in and shares her story with you. So, Karen, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. It is a true honor to be here on Women Worldwide. I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be your guest.
Oh, well, I've been so excited about our discussion. And yeah, I mentioned you're a professor, an author, communications consultant. I see you out there on social media and what you're doing, constantly stepping out of your comfort zone. I would say daily. You embrace social media with your students. You help other professionals, and you're certainly advancing your own brand. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about social media that has you teaching and consulting in new ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been teaching social media. This is actually my sixth year teaching social media courses, 5 years at the University of Louisville, but I started teaching at the University of Tennessee my last semester as a doctoral student. And I've always been passionate about new technologies. And I tell my students all the time that I have three weaknesses: coffee, shoes, and technology. So I'm a kid in a candy store whenever I go to the tech conferences or learn new tools. And I just love how I'm constantly learning and adapting my practices. And it's not basically for me teaching social media. It's never the same thing every day. There's always something that's coming up. And I find that really thrives my curiosity, but it's also a passion of mine to be able to share that with students. And I love the fact that social media allows you to become your own media outlet and establish your own brand without necessarily having to worry like, okay, am I going the right path through various gatekeepers, or am I doing what is expected to be, as a professor? And it allows you to have that flexibility to control who you are, your brand, but also make connections that you never would have ever thought would be possible. And I know it's been about, I would say, 8 years since we first got connected through Twitter from a research project I did. And look at where we're at now. We're good friends, good colleagues, and we're on this podcast talking about the role social media plays in our daily routines.
I know. I think it's so amazing. I can't even believe that it's been 8 years. You know, time flies. I think we've met in person once, I want to say,
yeah,
at best. But social media, you know, you've named or really drawn out a lot of the positives, the connections, the relationships, the flexibility when it comes to your brand and how you can create your own media. But, you know, something tells me with respect to technology, you have your students naturally savvy, right? They're just so hands-on and able to embrace what's new. And I noticed that with my students, they can find and navigate anything with ease. But what about professors and professionals? How do you think they're faring with new technology?
That's a really good question. And I would say that, I mean, looking back at the area of specialization that I work in, both on the research side and also on the side with social media pedagogy and integrating technologies to kind of build that bridge between practice and education, I would say that professors today are leaps and bounds where they were by the time I was starting out teaching social media. Back in the day when I was first even thinking about integrating social media in the classroom or even establishing it as a research area, I had a lot of colleagues say, you're wasting your time. You're never going to get a job teaching social media. You're never going to get a reputation for this area. It's a fad. It's going to go away.
Yeah, I heard
this. And it's funny. Right. And so I've actually had a few conversations just recently with a few of these folks that told me this years ago. And they're like, okay, I'm glad like you didn't listen to our advice. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, but I think there's a huge amount of pressure though amongst professors because we're supposed to be doing a lot more with less, but we are getting this perception from across the board, whether it's internally with our students who are coming in, looking at professors saying, okay, what can you guys teach us? We're digital natives. We know everything there is about social media. We grew up with this technology. And then the practice, you know, basically saying, well, you know, we're not getting the students that are having, they don't have the skills needed to be successful in the workplace. And so there's been a lot of, I think, you know, hits towards professors, and we're kind of caught in the middle between a rock and a hard place on how to effectively bridge all of those expectations together. And I think that's been a passion area of mine, is to help others go through the process of going outside your comfort zone, being present on social media, being able to share what you're able to do, translate what you're doing in the classroom into relatable, you know, conversations with practitioners saying, hey, look, this is what we're doing in the classroom. Here's the assignments. Here's what we're doing. What do you guys think? To kind of help build that community and to take ownership of that voice. And I found that the reason why I'm really so passionate about it is because when I was starting, there were a few professors that were teaching social media. I reached out to them. They were able to help me tremendously. But honestly, Deirdre, I got a lot of slam doors in my face. Basically, people saying, no, this is my class. I'm going to be known as a social media professor. Go find your own work. Oh, yeah. And I never wanted someone else to feel that way. So I've been really trying to put forth the extra effort to help out young professors, because we talk about how, oh, you know, there's an intern that does social media, like as soon, you know, as they graduate after, you know, getting their degrees and working in social media. But there is that assumption also for higher education, where you see these young doctoral students who get their PhDs and they're immediately thrown into teaching social media classes because, quote, they're young professors. So they know basically, again, sure, what social media is about. But it's a challenge because they come to me, they're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing, or I need help. What are your resources? And so I always feel that it's important to share those connections and opportunities, you know, to pay it forward. And I'm a big believer of that. So I think right now, I think that there's so many great professors out there who are really doing innovative things in the classroom. I'm inspired and learning from them each and every day. Like Matt Cushion from Shepherd University, he does a phenomenal job with his website. I literally tell him, I'm like, this is amazing, Matt. This is the best resource ever. And Lynn Humphrey from Florida International University is doing great work with digital marketing. But Carolyn Kim from Biola, I mean, there's just so many different professors that are leading in the way. And I think they feel empowered to be able to share their knowledge, but also give their students an opportunity to connect with practitioners in using social media practices effectively. So I think that the direction we're going with professors using social media is really...
Yeah, that is really exciting. When you mentioned the sort of closing the door and go find your own activities and curriculum and what you're going to do, just it reminds me of the business environment too, where, mm-hmm. you know, in any profession, do we have to be that cutthroat? Is everybody seen as a competitor? when if we open our doors and we share, we're going to take our industry a lot farther. So I'm really happy to hear that professors like you and so many others, and myself, willing to share what we're doing. And I think, Kevin, well, this is a really good time to talk about your first book, because it sounds like when you wrote your first book, A Roadmap for Teaching Social Media, you were thinking about other professors and really helping them to feel more comfortable in the classroom. So maybe you can just talk about your first book a little bit.
Absolutely. So it actually came after many conversations with some of these same professors, because I joke with people that I kind of fell into my teaching social media concentration, both on the research side and basically becoming known for that and amongst the academic groups. Kind of I fell into it because I didn't really realize that you could actually establish a reputation for that. I thought, okay, I'm going to do some crisis work, maybe social media strategy. But I started teaching social media at the University of Louisville, and I actually partnered up with Hootsuite and started creating content. And then all of a sudden, I got a lot of inquiries like, okay, how come your students are getting these internship opportunities, or how are you getting this press about how you're teaching social media, and what assignments are you using? And so finally, it got to the point in one summer that I realized I need to write just a workbook for professors that would need something to kind of, one, give them some encouragement to say, yes, you're not alone in this. It is a hard class to teach, but we can do this. We can do this together. But also, I got a lot of inquiries from students at other universities that did not have a social media class, that were following along on Twitter, my class hashtags every semester, trying to learn virtually from the discussions we've had. And so I wanted to create a workbook that allowed professors to feel a little bit more confident and how to teach social media. So it was a real like workbook directed to them, but it also gave some sample assignments to students who wanted to, you know, perhaps wanted to create a few items that they could include as part of their portfolio when they're applying for internships and future jobs. So I literally sat down for a couple days one summer and just started writing. It just kind of fell through the, on the pages, and I self-published it on Amazon, and I shared it in August a few years ago, and I did not anticipate the reaction that I got. I was like, whoa. I mean, it was basically, I was not looking to be on the New York Times bestseller by any stretch of the imagination. And I said, okay, it's about $10, maybe it's a couple of copies, but hey, I wanted to provide a resource. I'm like, hey, maybe like one or two people might buy this.
Surprise. That'd be kinda cool. But you had a lot of people.
Surprise. I mean, yeah, I was like, the biggest shock for me was one, like seeing not just professors down like buy it, but professionals using it as assignments that they were testing their interns with. And I'm like, okay, I had no idea that was going to happen. But then the biggest surprise recently was I saw a journal article of a book review on this workbook. And I'm thinking, it's not by an official publisher. It was self-published on Amazon. It's a workbook. It's not a full textbook. I'm thinking, well, I got a review in this journal. And so other people have been buying it. And so it really opened up my eyes. I was like, whoa, okay, this really was a good thing to share. But I really was very pleasantly surprised with the reaction people had. I had a few professors over the years basically say that this book saved their life. They were literally thrown with social media class to teach, like without really any notification. And they said this really helped them reassure themselves that they knew what they were doing, but also gave them some resources to kind of use and incorporate into their classes. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Karen, you were very generous with your resources. And I can't tell you how many professors that I've spoken with who have said, I'm teaching this social media class and I'm really not sure, which direction to take it in or what, what platforms I should be looking at. And I have recommended your book. And you know what? Just kudos to you. Here you are just putting out some helpful information, and who knew it would take off. And I could absolutely see why professionals would want to take a look at this book. And what you recommend for students to do for themselves is what any professional should do if they haven't already. But I do want to get to some exciting news about a big project, right?
Yes.
That you've been working on.
Yeah.
And we are so happy that you're going to share it for the very first time for Women Worldwide listeners. So tell us about your new book.
Yes. So thank you so much, Deidre. I definitely wanted to make sure that Women Worldwide was the first to publicly know that I have a new book, thanks to actually your review that kind of started the conversation.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I have actually a textbook that is coming out in August with Sage Publications, and it is titled Social Media for Strategic Communications, Creative, Creative Strategies and Resource-Based Applications. So I had to look at that again because we've kind of gone back and forth within the different titles. So yeah, it is Social Media for Strategic Communications, Creative Strategies and Resource-Based Applications. So this has been a secret I've had for 16 months.
Wow.
So it's been really hard.
Yes, it is. And think of the process and what you put into those 16 months. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a really fun, rewarding project. And so this, if you would have asked me maybe a few years ago if I would have been a textbook author, I would have been like, Deirdre, there's no amount of copy that would get me to write a book.
Somehow, Karen, there is.
There is. Well, it got to the point where, yeah, I mean, I kind of played around with the idea, and I felt at times when I was choosing books, there's always the question, do you sign a book in a social media class or you don't? There's some people that do, some people that don't. And over the years, I was looking at various books, and I basically kept on kind of embracing the mindset. I'm like, well, this book is too theory based. This is too practitioner based, or there's really not enough like coverage on metrics. So I felt like I was the Goldilocks of textbooks.
Nice.
Like it just, nothing felt right. And so my parents also have a background in academia. My mom's still teaching and she has written textbooks. And so one holiday a few years ago, I think my parents, love my parents, they were getting to the point where they're like, okay, Karen, we need to have a conversation. Like, you know how to fix this. You need to write your book. And that was like the first point where I thought, okay, maybe. But it was actually your book review that kind of started a lot of traction. And so I had a conversation, August 2016 with Sage. And I said, okay, I'll write a proposal, see what happens. And basically after the reviews came in, they said, okay, green light, you have a year to write this book. And so I spent a lot of nights, a lot of traveling on planes, early mornings before class, just writing. And so it'll be out August 2018. And it's a unique book, in my opinion. And so I shared the link
We're going to make it available for Women Worldwide listeners when the show comes out, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, when I first got the link, I thought, okay, this is real. But, so what's actually exciting too is the very first chapter before even talking about social media, the first, let me back up a little bit. The way that the chapters are structured is basically instead of getting a case study or going right into the material, I have a designated feature for every chapter called Humans of Social Media, because that was one of the things that I noticed a lot of times in social media books. We got to hear about all these cases, whether it's Oreo or what Arby's did with the Grammys, with Pharrell, but you really didn't get the sense of who are the leaders and visionaries and people behind the brands that we love, and we need to hear their stories. So Deirdre, you are actually going to be the first thing
Karen,
that the students read
you.
In my book.
I'm honored. Thank you.
So yeah, you're in chapter one. So basically before we even talk about social media, they get to learn your story. So every chapter has a person and their background and their story. And I wanted to basically provide the students with an opportunity. Like, yes, there are people behind these accounts. There are people who have different journeys and there's different specializations you can go into. And so that's kind of the premise that I wanted to have with this book to make it unique. But there's also another component that kind of bridges and balances what I went and did with my first workbook, the self-publishing. One of the things that I realized very quickly is a lot of books, they say, here's how you create a strategic plan in social media. And I would be like, and how do you do that? You know, how do you, like, what's the format? How am I going to translate what you're saying in this book into an actionable assignment that my students can actually apply what they're learning from the book? So again, that was another big thing that I was missing. And that was kind of the inspiration that I had for the workbook. So this book has a designated workbook attached to it. So all of the extra ancillary work, PowerPoints, test bank, resources, assignments are basically, that's what I'm basically going to be including as well. So that's a separate supplemental material that professors and students will be able to get. So there's over 50 assignments. There's lists of resources. There's going to be PowerPoints that are going to be complete. So basically I wanted this project to be a one-stop shop for professors. So they basically say, okay, I can basically go and do this and implement with no additional, I mean, they might have to do some additional things to kind of tailor to their own class, but at least they have kind of a foundation of material. So they're not scrambling like last minute to get all the materials.
Bravo. Karen, I think you just made a lot of professors very happy. And once again, I feel like this will also trickle into the business world and professionals. I'll make my prediction. I know I'm going to get my hands on a copy of the book and we'll be reviewing it again. Oh, yes. So congratulations. This is excellent, excellent news. And I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is now on the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Karen Freeberg and I were just discussing her new book, which is really exciting. That's launching in August of 2018. Karen, you must be feeling thrilled and probably exhausted at the same time after going through that process. Really, really excited for you. With everything that you talked about with social media, professors, professionals, students who at the end of the day are going to reap the benefits from all the work that you're doing. Let's talk a little bit about maybe the concerns of social media. We clearly see the benefits. You mentioned the flexibility, the connections, and the relationships, but we also see fake news. We worry about ethical practices through our communication. There's cyberbullying. So what do you think professionals and educators, what should they keep their eyes on? How can they really practice social media in the best possible way to set an example for students?
Absolutely, Deirdre. I mean, this is such an important topic because I know I get faced with this a lot of times because I feel social media has so many benefits. So I've gotten a lot of questions over the years like, well, Karen, how do you address all of the negative things that social media has brought to the table, like cyberbullying, fake news, and the ethical concerns? And so my response is you have to have a balanced approach with social media because personally for me, I've seen a lot of the negative sides of social media over the years. I was a student athlete back in the day, as I tell my students, at Florida and USC, I was a track and field athlete. I threw the shot put, so I used to throw things for a living. But I mean, even in those days, I didn't have Facebook until near the end of my athletic career, but I did have discussion boards. And so when it comes to cyberbullying, I do share my stories with my students about how with these discussion boards, I remember my first instance was 14 years old, and there were people that were hiding behind screen names on this one discussion forum and track, literally saying whatever came to their mind about how I was as an athlete, as a person. And I remember thinking, wow, like this is, you know, do they realize that there's another person behind the screen reading this content? And yeah. And so, and it turned out to be other parents and other coaches, and which was, again, surprising that it's basically not just one or two type of people out there, but it could
so
be
you're saying it wasn't even fellow a lot of people. Students. So it was actually parents and coaches.
No, it was adults. Yeah, it was actually adults and coaches. Yeah. So again, I felt that was my first kind of window into the issue of cyberbullying. And so I do walk the students through this exercise. I ask them, like, how many of you have written a tweet or sent a comment to a well-known celebrity or endorser that hasn't been necessarily the most positive? And, you know, some of the students are, you know, able to admit that. And I ask them, like, do you realize that there's probably someone on the other side of the screen reading this? And how would you feel? And they're like, oh, whoa, okay. They don't necessarily think about those things. So it's kind of about kind of a walking them through potential scenarios and kind of asking them, how would you feel if you were exposed to this? Or how would you feel if you saw this piece of news and it turned out to be not real? And so I really try to step through the best practices, especially like for various news items, like how to critically analyze and think through things through and to be able to detect, okay, how is this story truthful? Did they go through all the facts? And so I'm very grateful for the education that I was able to receive at the University of Florida. We had to take a lot of journalism classes. A lot more than I had anticipated taking, but my reporting class still is, you know, in my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, that was my toughest class as an undergrad. But it was good to kind of be able to collect your thoughts, collect your, you know, facts, being able to be truthful and objective in your analysis. But I try to incorporate those same fundamental principles in my social media classes. Like, okay, here's basically some of the, you know, checklist items that you want to look at. Before you hit that share button on any of these pieces of items, you need to go through this and kind of ask yourself, is this real? Is this fake? What are the URLs that they're using? Is it a real authoritative site? Are they verified? And I cover this in crisis communications too, because fake news also has a window of coming up in disaster events. And so you don't know what is truthful and what's not. And it's very tempting to be first without going through the facts. From an ethical point of view, I try to lead by example. I tell my students my personal philosophy in social media is to always be positive. I've tried students, you know, that I've told them, like, there's been times where I, like, have not had enough cups of coffee or the planet's aligned, but I'm not on social media to vent or to basically tell the world, like, oh my gosh, I'm having a horrible day or whatever. I mean, I always try to basically look at things positive.
Like, that's what I like about you. You are very positive, which is nice to balance out a lot of the negative that you see. I mean, but you're human too. It's not like it's all, we know it's not roses and rose-colored glasses at all. It's real. Yeah. But I too would rather see the positive side around what's going on. And I think that's a lot harder than complaining about everything.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, I mean, I agree. Like, I love, like, that's what I think, Deirdre, you are so positive with. You're so positive with your exchanges with everyone. You're helping out. And I mean, there's just so much good in the world that it's really important to kind of highlight those things and say, we're lucky to be alive, and life is too short to be constantly negative. And so, on the flip side, you know, I've had a few people say, well, I'm too happy. And I'm like, well, how can you be too happy? You know, and
they must not be happy.
And I joke. And, you know, I mean, and well, and I feel like, too, you know, one of the lessons that I do share with students, and this is kind of something that they kind of have to realize that, but it's a little hard for them to do because they want to please everybody. They want everybody to like them online. And I was very frank. I said, one lesson I learned as a student athlete is the fact that no matter what you do, there's still going to be
people. And the more you get out there,
I won't like you
Karen,
for who you
the more
are.
You're like, out there, the more there's license for criticism, judgment.
Yeah.
And it's not always nice, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way it is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the fact of life, but it's about kind of figuring out, okay, who are the individuals that you really do trust? You have that relationship that they have your back, you have theirs, and that you're able to formulate these partnerships and friendships, and you kind of build that community. You want to basically spend your time with those individuals that you feel help you as a person, but you're able to help them as well. And I feel time is our biggest, time and attention are our two biggest currencies that we have right now in social media. So we do want to give our attention to individuals that are worthy of our time. And it's important to be able to select those. You know, there's so many trolls. There's so many people that they just want to be negative. We just don't have time for that. We need to be aware that they're out there. So in case we do need to step in and basically say, hey, look, like you're not, you know, this is not healthy. You're not, you know, you should be, you know, doing these activities. But at the same time, we have to be protective of ourselves and those that we are connected with.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of choices to be made. I like what you said about time and attention, and that is a choice. And every choice you make, I say it over and over, is a compound effect. So if you are choosing to go down a negative path, and that is your choice, and you're surrounding yourself with negative people, look at the end of the road where you're going to end up. I think every choice we make will affect where we're going and what the outcome is going to be. So I would rather, you know, be real, but choose positive. So,
yes. Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And I think every action has certain ripple effects. I mean, just the exchanges that you have. I mean, that's the thing that I love about social media. I've been just such an advocate for it, is that, I mean, you're able to connect with people that you never would have ever imagined connecting with. And for me as a professor, being able to kind of formulate those connections with students and pay it forward and just kind of see the networks come alive and kind of see, wow, because of this connection, I was able to get this internship or this job, or we're getting coffee over here. It just is so exciting. It's so rewarding. And so I feel like with some of the things that people talk about, I mean, there are a lot of people that do have negative views on social media, but then that's where I try to amplify the good. Like, here's what you can do. Here's how these individuals have changed their lives personally and professionally because they were engaging in positive and proactive action.
Excellent. You know, let's talk a little bit more about relationship building. So, you know, we only have so much time and attention, and relationships, it's so important to have the right people around you. Social media really helps. I can't even tell you how many casual acquaintances have turned into trusted confidants, people who have been hey, at Dee Breckenridge, how are you, that have turned into shaking hands and doing business. So Karen, what are you doing to build relationships online, and what does your networking look like today?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, I look at my time on social media, and what's interesting is I tell people, like, especially like with different platforms, everyone asks me, what's my number one platform? I have to say Twitter. But I was not a diehard Twitter person when I first signed up. I signed up in 2008, and I'm thinking, what is this bird thing? What are we doing? 140 characters. How could you possibly build relationships on Twitter? Oh, I look back, I'm like, oh, Karen, you're so naive. But I'm just so grateful to be on the platform, because Twitter, beyond any other platform, has been the main relationship and networking tool. And I feel it's about, you know, just basically reaching out to people, like connecting and saying, okay, I'm interested in connecting with more professionals in PR and social media, so I might follow them and participate in Twitter chats around similar issues and topics. And I feel like I kind of started building on that over time. But it was really when I started seeing the power of meeting people and having similar conversations. Someone shares something on Twitter, whether it's a link or article, and I'm like, wow, this is such a great resource. And I saw how you can really build a strong community of fellow like-minded people through hashtags, through chats, through basically lists and stuff. And so over the years, I started connecting with more and more people. And when I was at the University of Louisville, I have had, for example, a lot of students who wanted to work in sports and social media. even though I've told people I don't teach sports specific classes, but as a former student athlete, I do have a passion and I love sports. I love activities. So I was able to connect with the sports and social media world, and those networks, those are some of the best, amazing people that I've ever met. And some of them have turned into, as you said earlier, long-standing relationships. I mean, my favorite story that I share is my friends at Clemson, Jonathan, Jeff, and Nick have done an exceptional job with managing and creating content for their personal, like for their own personal brand, but also the brand of Clemson University. And I like love their content. I was pretty much like an honorary tiger for them on social media. I'm like, this is so cool. Even though when they were competing with Louisville, I'm like, okay, I'm working for UofL, so I'm going to cheer for both teams. But I was so inspired by them, but I wanted to kind of see them in action. So I actually, not this past fall, but fall of 2016, I actually went to their homecoming game, and they took me around the tour of the campus. They got to like let me see their offices, how they go and work with students. And it was so inspiring.
Oh, that sounds fun.
But the biggest, okay, I'm not a crier, Deirdre, but I literally almost lost it because I got presented with a personalized football jersey.
Oh.
Because they said, because of your relationship, because of what you were able to do to showcase your like enthusiasm and your praise for us on my blog, on Twitter, on all of these different platforms, like they said, we considered you to be an honorary tiger. So even though you don't work here or you don't go here, you're part of our family. And because of what I was doing on social media, and I almost lost it. I'm like, I'm not going to cry. Look, it really was one of the most touching things ever. But again, that all happened because I was going back and forth with these great guys, you know, on Twitter. And Jeff Collin, who is the creative director for Clemson, is actually one of the people that I interviewed for my book. I mean,
oh,
he's fantastic.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I have these friends now that I would not have had otherwise. And I mean, I love the fact too, with social media, especially with Twitter, like my students have been able to get some amazing internships over the years and jobs. Like my former student, Samantha, who's now a brand manager at Adidas, but her connections that she was able to get her internship and then job at Team USA to do social for the Rio Olympics resulted in literally a private Twitter DM saying, okay, Joey, meet Samantha. Samantha, meet Joey. Talk amongst yourselves. Like, here's a great opportunity. And I love being a social connector. I just thrive by that. If I can basically make two people happy so they can get coffee, like, that's what makes my job so rewarding, is to be able to connect people and just, you know, make those relationship connections and help others. Because I had to make those connections on my own. And I feel like if anything I can do to kind of help people, like if I see two like-minded people talking on social media, I'm like, okay, you guys need to talk. You need to have a Skype call or go meet coffee, because everything that's fabulous happens over a cup of coffee. So it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Who would ever thought that Twitter would open so many doors and lead to opportunity? The average person, because I agree with you about Twitter. Twitter is definitely my favorite place to build relationships. I mean, LinkedIn is great too, but I do have a thing mm-hmm. about Twitter. And most people would just say Twitter is noise. Twitter is fake yeah. news, and that they're not clearly seeing the benefits that you see.
Well, and exactly. And it's also the brands that are realizing too, because they realize that it's so important to engage with audiences and followers in their network to kind of formulate those relationships. I mean, just recently, one of my favorite brands that I follow, which is kind of challenging right now because I'm training for my third half marathon, is Cinnabon. I love what Cinnabon is doing. They're like one of the most engaging brands ever. I mean, they're fantastic. But I mean, they have a Twitter chat. And I remember one time, like it was a few weeks ago, I thought, okay, I'm going to participate. And it's one of my favorite Twitter chats ever.
I didn't know they
have
a Twitter chat.
Yeah, it's Tuesdays at 1 p.m. And so it's called Sweet Talk. And
oh,
so
cool.
They were talking one time about personal brands. And I remember just mentioning, I'm like, okay, one of my favorite personal brands is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I mean, he's fantastic on social media.
Yeah.
I actually had to write about him in my book. And then I tagged him, and then Cinnabon responded. And then again, like, The Rock responded, like, and then that one tweet basically, Deirdre, no matter how many projects I've worked on, research articles, classes I've taught, that solidified my credibility to my students. Again, the next class, they were like, The Rock tweeted at our professor and called her Dr. Karen. And I'm like, yeah, The Rock can call me Dr. Karen. You guys can still call me Dr. Freeberg. Yes,
your students must think you are the coolest to have The Rock tweeting at you. That's unbelievable. All right, Karen, I'm going to ask you for two pieces of advice as we wrap up. The first piece of advice would be give advice to your younger self. And the second piece of advice is give your best advice to others so that they can step out of their comfort zone when it comes to social media.
I would say if I were going to whirl back time and basically give advice to my younger self, I would just say be persistent. Basically, if you are getting told no, you can't do anything. I don't like the word can't. I never liked that as a student athlete. And I was told that a lot. And I got, you know, a little discouraged. I'm like, well, okay, people are saying you can't be in social media, you can't do things. And literally just take those, like if I told, like could tell myself like years ago, like basically persist your idea. If you have a gut instinct of what you want to do and what you pursue, go for it. Like just keep that in mind. Like just take that with a grain of salt, but really pursue what you're doing. And I'm glad that I was able to do that, but I would have definitely been like, hey, keep doing this. You're definitely doing okay. You know, you're on the right track here. And for others to go outside of your comfort zone, I would say take action. Don't worry about like, oh, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? Don't have regrets. Like the worst thing you could do is basically say, oh, if I would have participated or I would have reached out to this person or this brand to maybe be on a podcast or be part of a guest lecture series or reach out to them. If you kind of are having those points of regret, like you don't know what could possibly happen. So I mean, yeah, they might ignore you. They might say no, but what if they say yes? Like if they say yes, you have formulated a new connection and opportunity. So I would say for people who are still hesitant about putting themselves out there, try it out, put yourself out there, see what works, but keep picking yourself up and continuing reaching out because you never know who might respond and say, heck yeah, I want to react to you and I want to partner on this collaboration project or I want to definitely talk to your students. Like I feel that you don't want to be ever in doubt. Like it's better to take action, reflect, see what worked, what didn't, and improve upon it. Because if you don't take action, these things are not going to come up. You have to basically initiate the conversation.
Absolutely. Two big takeaways. Be persistent, take action. Excellent advice. Okay, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your books, and your work?
Yeah. So I'm pretty much all over social media. I'd love to connect with anyone on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My user handle is usually just K Freeberg. That's pretty universal. I do have a website and blog. My blog is KarenFreeberg.com/blog. And that's where I write a lot about what I'm doing, but I also have links to my books, my workbook, as well as the new digital book that I have out with Top Hat with a few awesome collaborators on digital media writing. And then my Sage book will also be linked as well. And there are orders out already for pre-orders.
Excellent. Karen, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing excellent advice and really just being open about your work and your journey. We appreciate everything that you're doing and love that you're constantly stepping out of your comfort zone daily. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Deirdre, for having me. It was a wonderful opportunity and I just am really honored to be here.
Well, thank you again. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.